There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Froggy from Elvis Duran of the Morning Show here with Brian Wacker from Golf Digest on Twitter at Froggy Radio or at Playthrough Golf and at Brian Wacker 1. So let's see here. We got a lot going on. We got a lot to cover in this podcast here. First, I want to recap this past week's tournament. Won by a guy who hasn't won a lot, but like I think you just said as we were talking off the podcast here, an extremely underrated player on the PGA Tour in Kevin Na.
Yeah, I mean, another week on the tour, it was a bit of a snoozer. No fault to Kevin Na.
No, he just
blew out the field.
He really did.
But look, this is a guy who has been around for a long time, turned pro as a teenager, been around forever. Of course, oft criticized for his slow play, which, he's aware of it. He tries to do a better job of it. He's still slow.
Is he really still
slow?
Yeah,
he's still slow.
Now, is he as slow as Patrick Cantlay or no?
Well, yeah, that's neither one of those guys is winning any races, let's face it.
Right.
I mean, that's throw the turtle in the mix, and, yeah, I don't know who comes out ahead of that race.
You know, I didn't realize that Patrick Cantlay was a slow player, but I was playing last week and somebody took an Instagram video of my swing and somebody said, dude, Patrick Cantlay hit twice while you were standing over the ball. And I'm like, really, I'm that slow? So I guess I was playing very slow, but I didn't realize that. I knew Kevin Na had some issues in the past. I knew that there was a time. Is he the guy that Rory Sabatini left on the previous hole and went to the next tee box? Is that that guy? Yeah. Yeah, see, so things like that. So I knew he was a slow player, but, you know, it was really good to see him win. He putted lights out. I thought the up and down that he got out of the bunker on the par 5 on Sunday on 17 was ridiculous. He rolled in that long par putt, played 18 great. I mean, really, there was no pressure there at that point. He had like a 5-shot lead, but he really played really well on the front. Was sad to see some other guys fade. I thought maybe we'd have a better finish on Sunday, but some people really faded there at the end.
Yeah, and Kevin, again, did what he had to do. Played well, putted the ball extremely well, as you mentioned. And this is a guy who, you know, doesn't win a lot, just a second career victory out there, but he's got something upwards of 20, I think, top three finishes.
That's good.
In his career, which is pretty damn good. I mean, look, this guy's a heck of a player. Again, he turned pro at a very young age, 17, been around a long time, and it's been with Kenny Harms, his caddy, a long time. They're a great tandem, great duo.
Dude, I love to listen to the two of those guys.
That was great earlier this year, of course, with the shot over the water.
Where he said, you can't go long. I'm not going to go long. And then he goes long.
Yeah, sort of the debate of of the club choice there. Just fantastic stuff. And Kevin's an engaging guy. And then he of course, hits it long and then ends up chipping in. But also a farewell to the Greenbrier from the standpoint of that event now will move to the fall. PGA Tour schedule announcing today on Tuesday that it unveiled its 2019 schedule, which, of course, we should take a look at that. And some pretty significant changes. It's been a slow burn on this one. Look, we've talked, you know, a lot of these things have been known or talked about at least for a while. But a big change in the schedule. And of course, the biggest being that the Players' Championship
is moving to March.
Moves to March. The PGA Championship moves to May. The Open Championship, which, of course, is upcoming, that will now be the final major of the year in July. And the season will effectively end at the end of August with the conclusion of the playoffs, which go from four events to three as expected. To me, the three biggest takeaways, you look at, you know, it's interesting next year, the Open Championship, it goes Open Championship straight into a World Golf Championship.
Right.
The event that was in Akron at Firestone.
Right.
Moves.
FedEx St. Jude to Memphis.
Moves to Memphis. And those are in back-to-back weeks, so that you – just logistically, you're going from Belfast to Memphis next year, or any open venue next year's open, being in Northern Ireland, which will be fantastic and probably worth its own podcast. But that's a big change, of course, going from four events to three in the playoffs.
Right.
Ending in August. And the fact I like the fact that they're keeping Boston in the mix. You'll have that first playoff event rotating New York, Boston.
Right. So next year it's in New York. It'll be at Liberty National. Yeah. But then the following year it'll move to Boston. So every other year they'll move back and forth.
So that's nice. Look, I've been to that event a number of times up in Boston. They get huge crowds Labor Day weekend. They're really golf crazy. The weather's fantastic that time of year outside of Boston. So it's a really pretty well-run event. And I think you'll see, of course it started out as with a connection to Tiger and Tiger's foundation there, but I think, you'll see fans continue to flock there and nice to see, that they'll still go there, and not lose that spot on the schedule. But as mentioned, Greenbrier goes to the fall along with Houston.
Houston Open is no longer going to be the week before the Masters.
Right. Which will be San Antonio now, which will be interesting because...
Right, the Valero Texas Open will now be the lead-in.
Right, and you look at Houston, and that tournament did a fantastic job of really preparing itself to be sort of an Augusta light. They set up the course as similar as you could anyway to Augusta National, and I think
and
a lot of guys...
that got them some players.
Yeah, that definitely got them some players. I remember Rory McIlroy's played there in the past, and, you know, so you got some big names to go there on occasion. I'm not sure that'll be the case with San Antonio, which is about as opposite as you could get in terms of the golf course and Augusta National there. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out. And then, of course, you look at the Florida Swing is now revamped.
I like that. I like this Florida Swing now. So it starts February 25th through the 3rd of March. We'll get the Honda Classic in Palm Beach. Then they'll go to Orlando for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Then the Players has been moved. Now that's March 11th through the 17th. Then they'll go over to Tampa for the Valspar. So the Florida Swing now really is back to a Florida Swing, where before we had gone, once the Doral event was gone, they had gone to Mexico. So now they'll go to Mexico on their way from California headed to Florida, which really works out much better for the Florida Swing. Instead of it now having a break in the middle and the Players coming back later on, my only concern is, as you know, living here in South Florida and living in Florida in general, the weather in March can be very rainy and can be a little iffy with storms. So I think there's definitely going to be some weather involved between the Honda, the Arnold Palmer, the Players, and the Valspar, four straight weeks right here in Florida.
Sure, that's always a concern. I think almost any time of year you play in Florida, of course, the earlier you play, the better you are when it comes to weather. But I agree with you. Look, they go from L.A. Riviera, a fantastic event, to Mexico, for the WGC there, and then they continue on and go to Honda. Now, the interesting thing to me, look, not everybody can be a winner in this schedule game, and I think Tampa is going to be a big loser here because...
And they just had a really big field this year.
Got Tiger. I mean, if you look at what they had this year, Tiger and Jordan Spieth, and just a fantastic fantastic field and a huge turnout, probably the biggest turnout
they've ever had.
Yeah.
Right, because nobody's going to play the Honda. And, I mean, listen, I'm not saying nobody. When I say nobody, I'm talking about of big-name guys.
Top 10,
let's say
top
Tiger.
20. Sure.
Tiger's going to play the Honda. He's going to play the Arnold Palmer. Sure. And he's going to play the Players. He would obviously hope to qualify for the World Golf Championship Dell Technology Match Play, which is the week after the Valspar.
Right. So
he's not going to play 5 weeks in a row. He's just not.
And neither are most big names, because a lot of big names are going to play Riviera. They typically get a good field. You're going to get a lot of big names in Mexico. Now, WGC. We've seen some guys skip that event, and I think we'll see that happen right. every year, because it's not everybody's cup of tea for a variety of reasons, whether it's the logistics that are involved, which, by the way, the tour does a fantastic job, but there's just a lot that goes into it in terms of police escorts every day to the course. And, you know, look, it's just a lot. And then you're talking about a golf course. It's very, very quirky. And
I wish it was still here in South Florida.
Well, of course, you know, that, sure. You know, yeah. And there may be an event down the road. We may see, I know the tour has talked about coming back to South Florida, wanting to come back to the Miami market. We'll see if that happens. It doesn't appear that there's really any, they've talked about it as a regular event. Doesn't appear to be anywhere in the near future that would happen. However,
I know they're talking about a major at you know, Trump Doral,
right,
as well, which could be
a possibility to see the PGA Championship. We've seen it played in South Florida before.
Right.
So that could work well.
This schedule is really packed. I mean, you look
right,
at
that
it.
Part of the schedule. So you're not going to get guys going to Tampa, and you're not going to get some guys going to Bay Hill because the schedule is so packed right there.
You've got the Genesis, which is going to get a good field, okay? Yep. Then you've got Mexico. The very next week is Mexico, which is a WGC
sure.
event.
Honda.
Going to get a good field. Then it goes right to Honda.
And look, Honda may get hurt a little bit. I think
right.
Honda gets hurt because a lot of those guys who play those two events you just mentioned
are going to take a week off.
Are going to take a week off because they're, you know,
then
gonna,
they've got Bay Hill and the Players coming up.
Right. So I think Honda gets hurt a little bit. Right.
And then you've got the match play. And
right.
then you've got Valero Texas Open and then the Masters. Exactly. Valero Texas Open, I think, is really going to get hurt.
Yep.
Because these guys that have played maybe the Genesis, maybe they skipped one of the WGC, Mexico, Honda, Arnold Palmer, the Players, Valspar, match play. Those guys are going to have to get ready for Augusta. And there's no time to get ready in there. I think that you're going to see – instead of having really all the strong fields, we really had really strong fields for the Florida Swing before, I think you're going to see more medium-sized fields where you'll get a good guy that will play three of the four or play three of the five events instead of getting everybody. You're really not going to get anybody that's going to just play. Going to play Genesis, then play Mexico, then play the Honda, Arnold Palmer, the Players, Valspar. I mean, they just physically can't do it, and they've got to get ready for the Masters as well.
Right, and I think to varying degrees, I think Honda, Arnold Palmer's event at Bay Hill, and Tampa certainly will be hurt a little bit by this revamping of the schedule. Just, look, not everybody can win when you're playing every week, and you don't you've got a packed calendar, and you've got a lot of big events. And, of course, the other big news you got later in the summer, we've got a nice little Midwest run with events in Detroit and Minnesota. So there's a nice, you know, the lead in now to the U.S. Open is Canada, I believe. So there's a little bit of a change later in the year as well. But, of course, the goal when Tim Finchem, previous commissioner, created this system, this FedEx Cup, was so that the season didn't go up against football. And that's exactly what happened when it got created. It was still finishing during football season in mid-September, late September. Now this has finally come to fruition where they'll finish at the end of August
right.
ahead of football season and people will be done. Look, there'll still be golf in the fall. That's not going away. There's eight events, I believe, on the fall schedule, including
and that's for the Greenbrier.
Right, Greenbrier, Houston. There's a couple new events as well. You'll have an Asian swing in there as part of it. So, look, there's still going to be hardly a week on the calendar when there isn't any golf. But the big golf, the golf that truly matters, the big events, you know, in addition to obviously some big events in Europe, which now we're in a nice little part of that schedule with the Scottish Open this week, Irish Open last week, which was a fantastic finish with Russell Knox winning there. A couple of long bombs on his last couple of holes to win in a playoff in that event. And Scottish Open, another terrific field there this week. And then, of course, the Open Championship at Carnoustie. So we're in a nice little summer, you know, UK cross the pond swing, which
right.
is pretty cool. It's always great this time of year.
Now, how does it work as far as getting into the Open? I know that a lot of people that are playing in the Scottish Open this week, they can get in there as well.
Sure.
And the winner, if whoever wins the John Deere is not qualified, would
right.
then automatically get in to hop on that charter flight and head over, correct?
Right. So
is that the only way you get in?
Well, no, there's a bunch of ways that you can still get in, but you know, that as we get down to that's those ways start going away now. But yeah, and John Deere does a fantastic job of getting people They've done a really nice job. They charter guys over there, and we've seen in the past where guys have played their way into the Open via the John Deere. So, you know, look, this now we're on to the third major of the year.
Yeah.
Open Championship Carnoustie. It's been about a decade since it's been there. This is probably the hardest – well, there's no probably about it. This is the hardest golf course in the rotation.
It is.
For the Open Championship.
It's much harder than St. Andrews, for sure.
The finish is brutal. Last few holes there is really difficult. You know, it'll be fascinating. It's been a really warm summer there. The courses have been really baked out. It'll be fantastic.
They'll be running.
Yeah, I mean, the ball will be bouncing. We'll see a lot of great, great shots and creativity. That's the beauty of Lynx Golf. You know, Froggy, I don't know how much you've played it.
I haven't a lot, no.
Yeah, so it's great
it's
because
it's played
it just,
more on the ground than it is in the air,
exactly,
like we do here in the States.
Which is kind of how golf was created, exactly how golf was created, along the ground. And there's just so much more creativity to it and different ways you can go about attacking. Of course, the weather's always
right.
A big part of it and what side of the draw you get
now, caught on.
Now,
how does this bode for Tiger?
Boy, I
mean, you would think that two-iron stinger would be his best friend at a course like this, just running along the ground.
You would think, you know, but again, you've got to make some putts. You're not going to be hitting it particularly close all day. So
no.
You've got to, you know, be rolling the ball pretty well from a mid-range to long-range distance.
Which was where he struggled recently, as
right.
You remember.
So
I know he made the putter change. He went to the took the Scotty Cameron out of the bag and went to the TaylorMade putter. Putted better for sure.
Yes.
The first week that he had it, but still struggled from that, from anywhere from 3 to 10 feet. Still struggled, and those are putts that he's really gonna need to make that 3 to 10 foot range. Now, with that being said, I don't know Tiger personally, but I can guarantee you that since we last saw him, he has probably worked day and night on that 3 to 10 foot range. Do you have any information on what putter we'll see him with?
I would suspect that he'll stick with the TaylorMade putter. I can't imagine that this was that brief of a change that he would go back to the Scotty. I think this switch is at least for the reasonable short term something he'll stay with, because Tiger's not a guy.
He's going to
try.
Kind of guy.
Yeah, no, he's not going to use something for 1 week and then bail on it the next or anything like that. So I would fully expect that he would use the TaylorMade putter again. But again, it's, you know, there's always seeming to be one or two components of his game that have been off that have prevented him from winning. Look, we've seen
but
him play
well.
But
still another top four last time he played. What does that mean, a top five? He finished fourth
sure,
place,
look,
which is great.
Look, he's playing well. Right now he is a good tour player. That
yeah.
That is kind of what he is. He's a good tour player.
Correct.
And good tour players, you know, don't really win that often. So
right.
I don't expect him to really threaten it, Carnoustie.
Does he make the cut? Because remember, he missed the cut at our last
sure.
At our last major, the U.S. Open, won by Brooks Koepka. His undoing was the first and second hole, let's be
yeah.
Honest. He was 7 over, I believe, on the first hole, actually.
I think he makes the cut at Carnoustie.
He makes the cut at
Carnoustie.
I think
he makes the cut.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in contention. I just don't see it.
Right.
You know, look, that the British Open or the Open Championship is –
Can I ask you a question?
No, let's not go. Let,
when
no,
did we change that?
No, let's not go.
Why can I
no,
not call
I
it
the hate
British
this topic.
Open?
Why oh,
is it the
I
Open
this
Championship?
Topic.
Why?
Look, it's the Open Championship. To the it's simply the Open.
I still call it the British Open because
right.
I'm used to the U.S. How do you distinguish
sure.
Between that and the U.S. Open?
Why
are we the U.S. Open and they're just the Open? What made them take the – they get to be the Open and we got to be the over
well,
the U.S.
they
Open.
Did – create the game.
Okay.
We should give
okay.
Scotland that. They
okay.
Did create the
I'll
game.
I'll give you that. All right, go ahead with where you were going before
playing,
I interrupted
you. Yeah. Pretty sure if they're playing, when they play baseball in other countries, they call it baseball.
Right.
Right.
But they don't call it the U.S. World Series and they have their own.
Right.
I mean, like, we have the U.S. Open and that's the British Open. That's sure. Just, that's how we distinguish it.
I think they've tried to alleviate that maybe a little bit by calling it the Open Championship, which alleviates some of that. You can have the U.S. Open and just refer to it as the Open Championship. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you, by the way. If you just call it the Open, you know, if you live in Canada, the Open is the Canadian Open.
Right, the RBC Canadian Open.
If you live in the U.S., the U.S. Open is the Open. If you live in a particular state, that might have an Open. So,
right, exactly.
So
I'm glad we agree on that at least.
Yeah, so I have no qualms about calling it the British Open when you're in the U.S., but now I think they've alleviated the problem by calling it the
Open Championship.
Right, so that...
And you're the champion golfer of the year when you win.
Which, by the way, is that not the best ending to any tournament? Like, the Green Jacket's great.
Right.
U.S. Open's fine. PGA, it definitely...
The Wanamaker.
Pulled
the trophy's bigger than the guy that wins, usually.
Right, yeah, especially in Justin Thomas's case.
Right.
But when you get announced as the champion golfer of the year, how cool is that? And the Claire Jug, it's like the Stanley Cup of golf in terms of the places it's been, the history it has, the things that people have consumed out of it and done
that.
With it.
I love that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so great. So it's probably one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite major for so many reasons.
I love the fact that it's on in the middle of the night. We get to watch it early in the morning. It's great. You wake up, you watch golf. And, still, I know Jordan won last year, but one of my favorites ever was 2 years ago watching Henrik Stenson and Phil match
each
other.
How good was that?
Shot for shot. I mean, that was both of them.
Last couple of years have been pretty good for the Open.
It really was very, very good. So I'm looking forward to a good Open Championship. But listen, I would like to see Tiger in contention. But we'll see what we get. I think either way, I think Justin Rose is going to be there at the end to have something to say about it.
Yeah, he's certainly played well this year and well enough, and he's got a terrific history at Open Championships. I think this is a golf course in Carnoustie that you're going to look – it's a big boy golf course. They all are, but when it comes to the Open rotation. But really, this is a stern, stern test, and it's going to play very difficult. It's going to be very bouncy, very springy. Just a really, really great event, and I think we're going to see some big names in contention again. Jordan, I think there's still some putting issues there that need to be ironed out.
Yeah, that really
sucks. McIlroy.
I really hate to see Jordan play bad.
It really
bothers me, as you know. Rory McIlroy, would love to see him. I would love to see Rory get another one.
Look, Rory, he was the low amateur when the last time he played there.
Right.
I expect Rory to play.
Phil will play well. I think Phil plays well.
He could.
He does.
Never know.
Listen, I mean, we
he's certainly come around on the Open Championship in terms of how he's played it and the way he goes about it and seems to have embraced it. And
I didn't expect him to even contend in Mexico, and he won. So, I mean, but speaking of Phil, where do you stand on the Phil Tiger $10 million match that is rumored?
Here I thought you were going to bring up him being involved in another rules controversy.
There's so many of them, I can't keep track.
It's hard to
keep
track.
This is the one where he tamped down the grass, and then he asked the guy if he thought it was – all he had to do was move his ball over.
Right.
It's a tee ball. Just pick it up and move it over a foot. And it was really a bad move. He called it on himself, but, Phil's kind of caused his own issues the last couple months.
He just can't get out of his own way. It's amazing.
Where do you stand on this $10 million rumored match that we're supposed – one thing I read, it was already supposed to have happened.
Look.
But it didn't?
I think it'd be fun, obviously.
Do you like it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Look, I think it'll be fun. It obviously will get a lot of eyeballs. I think it sounds like there may be some pay-per-view model in the works potentially, or some series in the works that this would obviously be the sort of crown jewel of. Look, is it significant? Not really. These guys aren't. Both these guys are going to get paid. They're not playing for $10 million of their own money. Let's make that clear.
Oh, so they're not. No, I didn't understand.
Yeah, no. Look, they're not. The loser isn't writing a check to the winner for $10 million. Let's get that.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, that's not the way this is going to happen. No.
So
that would be fantastic.
Right. So somebody's putting up the money.
Now, if somebody, it would never happen, but
if they made them both put $10 million in escrow.
How good would that
be? And the winner walks away with both checks.
How good would that be?
That would be fabulous.
Now that I would pay some money to see.
Correct. See, now that would be good.
This idea has been around a long time. It goes all the way back to the Shell Wonderful World of Golf and these sort of stakes matches.
I remember the Battle of Bighorn
and with Tiger and Duval and Tiger and Sergio. So look, the concept isn't new. This is just a marketing ploy.
And they're not in their prime.
Right,
they're not in their prime right now.
No. I think it'd be fun. I'd watch it with a bit of interest. I don't think it would be – I think a lot of people would watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think this would be any sort of significant event.
Let me ask you this. Who wins? Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, look, it depends where it's played. It depends. Well, I guess we know that it would be in Vegas. So,
right.
I'm going to say Tiger.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I do. I think Tiger beats him. I do. There's just something about him. But then again, sometimes Phil
He's so much better if it was $10 million of their own money. Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be the greatest thing
That
ever.
Would be incredible.
Because
but, yeah, that would be really fun.
I mean, they'd have to put a check in escrow, and right. The guy who wins walks away with both checks.
Forget checks. No, I want to see, like, suitcases of money.
Suitcases of cash.
Yeah, just like a big bowl with just $10 million, just $100 bills,
and whoever
in a giant
wins
bowl
takes both.
And
the yeah. other guy's got to stand there and hand it to him.
There you go. Right.
That would be really good. See, they should hire us to produce this.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah,
that
good
would
luck.
Be must-see TV.
Yeah, good luck getting Tiger, Phil, or anybody to sign on for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, to sign up with $10 million of their own money.
Right.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, cool deal. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. So we are about to be upon our third major of the year. Yes, this week we have the John Deere. And usually we don't speak a lot about the European Tour, but this week with the Scottish Open having such a big deal on who's going to get into the field, we've got two big tournaments this week, and then we will be back for a British Open recap, hoping that we get another great – it doesn't matter to me who wins. If we get another finish like Phil and Henrik Stenson or with we did with Spieth last year, I'm happy either way no matter who wins. And we've got a good interview coming up later this week also with the Senior Director of Development of all clubs for TaylorMade about what's coming out next, because TaylorMade's got some new stuff in the line, new stuff coming down the pike, so we'll talk to them as well. Thanks so much for tuning in.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
Noah? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy and Wacker.
Bitch.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.